Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another, let me say, a comeback version of the Bloody Knuckles Show. It's BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by our motherfucking selves. You know we do it big. Shout out to my business, 391 Cheese, the best wine, the best cheese in Tallahassee, Florida, and Warrior-Fit on Instagram. Keep yourself fit, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, BK Show 1 on Twitter. Yes, I'm getting back into the Twitter atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Tonight we are talking NBA, of course, all topics. We might even touch on a little Brock Lesnar, you know, as the NBA season is winding down. I know it's officially over, but we got to put a little bow on it, talk a little summer league because we love it so much, and, you know, maybe even talk a little KD and Wade switching situations. But on the line with me tonight, I got the Jewel of Rochester, Mr. Recruit himself. He could tell you who your team in college football and basketball will have probably in about 3 years from now. He is the man that is at the local middle schools trying to recruit for Florida State. He is the man who doesn't give a fuck. The man who told Brock Lesnar, take this stuff, it doesn't matter if it shrinks your nuts. The man who told Nate Diaz, throw that middle finger up and, goddamn, start getting your brother to swing them nunchucks like he did in that video. Everyone remember that? Remember that? He's Percy Love himself, Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do, Ryan? It is, well, either way you want to look at it, it's either Friday night or Saturday morning, but whatever, folks. You know, me and Ryan, about it. I mean, Ryan, to like summer league ball, it is just so exciting to watch, you know, great stars, funny too, great watching development. Before we dive into that, though, this news broke today. I just had to one quick little quick MMA question I did have for you, Ryan. So, you know, the whole thing, UFC 200, it's kind of funny. It's almost like it was a circus show, as much as they did Bellator. They had steroid tested Brock. Somehow got a waiver, but it just came out that he has been flagged for a potential doping violation. Surprise, surprise. I'm sure none of us are surprised at all, Ryan. And Mark Hunt just came out and said either wants the UFC to give him half of Brock's purse or he wants out of his contract and he walks. Ryan, generally, I want to get some of your thoughts about this. I haven't read the article doping. I don't know if you had either. I'm sure what the violation is. And just what are your thoughts on that? And do you think Mark Hunt has a point?
I think Mark Hunt definitely has an incredible point here because the UFC set Mark Hunt up to fail. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You can't throw a guy in there against a guy that is obviously doping and then come out and say basically that, you're given an exemption, but you're still testing. I mean, it goes against everything the UFC has been trying to stand for. They banned John Jones from his fight. It was pretty much a huge circus, in my opinion. The UFC was on the brink of selling, and it's like, it's hard to explain almost what it is like, but it's like an NBA owner trying to, you know, sign an old player or something, or MLB that's breaking the rules, just trying to get some extra ticket sales. Very slimy. Like, to me, it's just gross. It's taking advantage of the fans, but more than anything, it's taking advantage of Mark Hunt. When you know this guy is on steroids, because there's no way, looking at Brock Lesnar and knowing that he was in the WWE and he only had a 4-week training camp, that he came out looking like that And over, Brock Lesnar said to the fans, which I think is the reason why Brock Lesnar probably should never get to fight again, unless it's a circus act, and we just say, you know what, steroids are allowed. Because he said over and over, I'm a big white boy, get over it, I'm not on steroids. And Mark Hunt said over and over, you are on steroids, you are on steroids. And Mark Hunt got to get beat down in front of the fans by a guy that was obviously cheating. So Mark Hunt should get something out of this. Obviously, the victory will be overturned. But in the fans' eyes, I don't know, Andrew, it's hard to say because some fans are, you know, they don't follow the sport like we do. So they're just going to remember Brock Lesnar, a five-year return. Oh, he just beat down Mark Hunt. He's so good. It's going to ruin Mark Hunt's image. So the UFC is shitting all over Mark Hunt here. There needs to be action, yeah. And Mark Hunt should definitely get compensation. And there's no way you can say the UFC can't afford it when they just made $4 billion on a motherfucking sale. So don't get your money and run. Do something good while you still have the UFC in your hands. And do something that shows that you are for this policy. And I got to say something about the anti-doping I don't like. First off, Brock Lesnar got caught by the association that was so bad that the UFC had to get rid of it. This isn't even the new doping policy, Andrew. This is the old one that caught in, basically the one that Las Vegas uses. So you know Brock Lesnar was cheating if he got caught by those bums. But I heard from multiple fighters that John Jones could have failed basically his drug test by taking the wrong aspirin. I mean, this is out of control. The UFC needs to tell these fighters what they can take and what they can't take. Why did Brock Lesnar fail a drug test 10 days before the fight and John Jones failed a month before the fight and John Jones didn't get the fight, but Brock Lesnar still got the fight? Did the UFC cover this up? None of it makes sense to me. And it was a big circus show, and it showed how big of a failure to me UFC 200 was. Not only
ring.
Was it not a great show, not only did Misha take it or act with, but your two biggest stars on the show tested positive for steroids. It's a black
the yellow
eye.
Ring. The yellow ring. The ugliest thing
the
I've
ever
seen.
The yellow ring. Is that a new thing? Are they going to do that from now on?
I don't know, Ryan, but if that's the first mark of the sale, that was disgustingly ugly, and I have to say I agree with you 1,000,000%, Ryan. And then one other question I did want to ask you. I didn't see the fight. You watched it. It was very controversial, the Fedor. News broke that it was overturned to a draw for suspiciousness, a lack of or conflict of interest. What did you think about, because, you know, that rarely happens, where the committee overturns the victory for a draw. So what did you think about the Fedor one getting overturned for a draw?
I think that I didn't get to watch the fight personally, and I was so sad that I couldn't even go back and watch it. The fact that Fedor, I mean, if you talk about steroids, this is a guy that needs to be on steroids if he's going to keep fighting. I mean, to get whopped up by Fabio Maldonado and get beaten down in the first round, and a lot of people saying that the fight in the United States would have got stopped in the first round, is an embarrassment. And for a guy like Fedor to be in Russia, I hate to say it, and hide behind the Russian officials to get a victory, and Russia still is not acknowledging that this is a no contest, it's kind of an embarrassment. But on the other side, Andrew, I can't really say right now, oh, Fabio Maldonado won this fight or it was a draw, because officially he signed a contract to fight in Russia. He knew what he was getting.
Ryan,
we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Apologize about that, little technical difficulties. We were just talking about Fedor victory being overturned to a draw. And I was just saying that basically Fabio knew what he was getting into coming into this fight. When you sign the contract to fight in Russia, you know something is going to happen. But in the future, this is going to show fighters like Deontay Wilder, who was going to go to Russia and fight Alexander, or Povetkin. And thank God, Andrew, you're hitting keys. Thank God that Deontay Wilder did not go to Russia and have this fight. You know, Povetkin tested positive for steroids, because this was a, this just shows basically Russia just needs to get under control. It's just, it's not a good place for MMA. It's not a good place for the World Cup to happen. That gets overturned soon. Their soccer fans can't even get in control. They're getting kicked out of France during the last tournament. I mean, it's just a bad place. It's a black eye on Fedor's career. But at the end of the day, I still consider it a Fedor victory. Because let's face it, on that night, Fedor got his hand raised. So I just think Fabio needs to let it go. Everyone thinks he won. Stop with the bitching and complaining. There is no steroids involved. So we all know that there's bad judgment in MMA, and it happens to a lot of other fighters.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Ryan. I feel like when you go back and you overturn a fight, and, you know, I just feel like you're going into murky waters. It's unprecedented. There are other fights I would put ahead of this one that should have been stepped in and overturned. First one that pops to my mind is Johnny Hendricks, GSP. I just feel like this is a is an uncharted territory. And, I mean, Fedor did win the last two rounds. I mean, he did win round two and three.
Yeah.
So,
and we're
opening the doors to
– are we going to have all of our fights starting to be overturned? Like, what's the point of having the live event? Get better judges or find better places to fight.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And you have to think, you know, if Fedor will ever get to fight in Russia again, and who's going to be interested after something like this happens? A huge black mark, not only for Fedor, but I feel like for Russian mixed martial arts.
Fedor and
Vanderlei
need to both take a shitload of steroids and just fight in Japan and both retire. Let's face it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But, Ryan, let's get on to the meat and potatoes. We've been watching some of these youngsters play. Oh, first thing, you know, you did say we're putting the ball in the NBA season. We have to bring it up. This is the biggest news since, was it 2010, when good old King James left Cleveland to take the famous line, "I will take my talents to Southeast." Now I feel like every athlete in the world, I'll take my talents. But, Ryan, so...
I will take my talents to Sacramento.
To your mom. Oh, that wasn't a shot at you, Ryan. That was just like in general, like a funny comment. But anyways, what I was going to say is, so kind of in shocking news. I mean, we heard Golden State was, you know, the team that Kevin Durant, you know, there was a lot of smoke around it. In the offseason, there was always some of that talk. A lot of people thought he was going to take the one-year deal, you know, try and go back with the Russ. They got their new coach. They added Victor Oladipo. And sure enough, Kevin Durant walked. This was a huge loss, I will say, for small market teams. But kind of a power move that, I mean, really, Ryan, you have to say, this team might be bigger than, you know, what the Miami Heat were. What are your thoughts on the scale? You know, this is something I never thought it would happen. And, I mean, you got to say, this is a complete shot at Russell Westbrook. I mean, KD leaving just, you know, kind of proved everyone's theory that, you know, they didn't like each other that much. You know, we thought they did. But, I mean, if KD loved Russ, Ryan, I mean, he would have stayed and played with them. So, just let me get full 360. What are your thoughts on this? And do you think Golden State will be able to do what Miami wasn't, and that is, you know, live up to the pressure and win the championship their first year? It's going to be tough. Everyone's going to be gunning for them. This team went 73-9 this year? How can you get much better than that? And they did lose a lot of their depth, Ryan. They did lose some of those big ones, Leandro Barbosa, the Zeelys. They lost a lot of players. So what are your thoughts on this move, Ryan? How shocked were you? What does OKC do from here? How good is Golden State going to be? How do they all fit? Let me get some paging. Dr. Edwards, classic breakdown, 360. Let me get it, my doctor, brother.
All right. Dr. Edwards is in the house first off. Let me say that right now. First thing I got to say is let's put the shoe on the other foot. Everyone talks about Kevin Durant and what he did to Russell Westbrook. But we saw the whole Golden State goddamn, I think their fucking towel boy was at the meeting to go meet Kevin Durant. I think Andrew Bogut was there and they told him to go home because you're not going to be on the team. He got a ticket back home. But Russell Westbrook couldn't show up to the meeting with Kevin Durant to get him back on Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma City Thunder set it up to where Kevin Durant was going to be a free agent, and the next year Russell Westbrook was going to be a free agent.
And
they got rid of Russell Westbrook's best friend, James Harden, and they didn't even bother giving Kevin Durant a phone call when they traded Serge Ibaka. And we all know that was a great move, but you always have to give your superstar, who's a free agent, a phone call.
Heads up, or what do you think?
Yeah, they didn't give him a phone call when they traded James Harden. Oklahoma City has been running a motherfucking muck for years. What do you expect to happen? And let me say this first to the Stephen A. Smiths of the world. KD put, 9 years in at Oklahoma City? It might be around that much time. This is a town that booed Barack Obama when he first got elected during a game when they showed a picture of Barack on the big screen, a racist town basically, in front of their players, a town where there's nothing to do. So Stephen A. Smith, you work for a local station in some bumfuck nowhere where the job's not getting done, and you're not allowed to go to ESPN and take your talents and do something better with your life? So you criticize, let's say, Stephen A. Smith is on Fox Sports and they're not getting the job done. He can't go to ESPN to make his life better if he had a better offer. I'm sorry, but Kevin Durant made his job better. I know sports is a little different, but the total package is in Golden State. You have a better city. You have a better coach. You have better teammates. You have a better chance, and let's face it, Kevin Durant has talked about finishing second his whole career, even getting drafted second. You know, when he watched LeBron James exceed new heights this offseason, he sat on his couch and said he had to do something different. And seeing his relationship with Russell Westbrook, a guy that was probably going to leave in a year, KD with nobody if KD signed, we all know that the writing was on the wall that KD could just get stuck in Oklahoma City. Free agents were not going to go there. So why wouldn't he go to a Golden State where he's friends with the guys? They all showed up. Let's face it, Golden State just won the meeting. They had the best meeting. They had the best pitch. And they've been planning this for years. So let's all get off Kevin Durant's back. This is the new NBA. And Charles Barkley went to Houston to try to play with Hakeem Olajuwon, demanded a trade. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about, but Andrew, he sounds pretty fucking stupid coming out when he demanded two different trades in his NBA career to try to form big threes of his own. Another guy who criticized Kevin Durant. But I think it was a great move for Kevin Durant. Oklahoma City, I mean, we all would love to see that rivalry with Golden State kind of become extended, but what Kevin Durant did is he pretty much made the West a slightly better version of the East. But let's face it, no one is messing with Golden State. Kevin Durant is getting slid into this team for Harrison Barnes. The Cavs were pretty much guarding Golden State. He couldn't, and the Cavs were guarding him 5-on-4, letting Harrison Barnes be wide open. So the difference between this situation is this isn't Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James trying to figure out how to play together. This is Andre Iguodala, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, who all know how to play together, sliding in the number two best player in the NBA into that lineup, and maybe one of the best lineups, the best lineup of all time with team players on one team. And when you talk about depth, Andrew, Golden State just knows how to do stuff brilliantly. The trades they pulled off, being able to get Zaza at center. I know he's not Andrew Bogut, but he doesn't have the injury history. He's a veteran, and he shoots 70% around the rim.
Too.
So
he'll get those rebounds, too. That was their biggest problem against Cleveland. He'll get those rebounds.
Andrew, on that team, me or you could probably go play center for 10 minutes a game, and then you put the death lineup in and you win the game. I mean, it's simple. You don't need anybody that great. They got Anderson Varejao back. They got David West, who, let's face it, last year they had fights instead of West.
Fucking David West, what a move.
Yeah, David West is makes that bench even better. So are you telling me, people, that having Iguodala, Anderson Varejao, David West, and Sean Livingston on your bench is really that much of a downgrade from what they had last year? No, it's not. This team has gotten better all around, in my opinion. They might even have a better bench than last year. I know they lost a few guys, but Azili was a detriment to that team last year off the bench. Let's face it. So Golden
State, the only player they're going to miss is Barbosa. Other than that, they're good money.
Yeah, I was surprised Barbosa wouldn't take less money to maybe try to win a championship or continue to win a championship. But I
don't know why you wouldn't want to be on that team, Ryan. I would take $500K to play on that team.
Shit, I might take $10 to go play on that team for a day.
I might pay to play on that team.
Exactly. And, I mean, what Kevin Durant did here was he guaranteed at least 4 or 5 finals in his career that he's going to see. We don't know if this team's going to beat Cleveland yet. And I'm tired of everyone coming out and talking about competitive balance, because the NBA has never had competitive balance, Andrew. It's always been about the super team. The same 5 or 6 teams have always won the championship. And if the other teams can't catch up with Golden State, then they need to fix what they're doing, because everyone was playing by the same rules and Golden State just played better. Now, the way Golden State's going to be affected is next year when the salary cap drops. How are they going to re-sign Iguodala? That's the big question mark.
I thought it goes up again.
No, it drops by $3 million because of this super team. Adam Silver's trying to fuck them over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I hate that. You know, another shady move, and of course with Shutek, KD goes there, but the Lakers can't have CP3. Ryan, another thing I just wanted to throw in there, what I applaud Kevin Durant for. In a day where athletes are scrutinized more than ever, a day of social media where pretty much anyone can be contacted, Kevin Durant was man enough to follow his heart, not let the outside voices sway him, not go to, you know, not stay in OKC because that's what the public wanted, that's what the media wanted. He followed his heart. He did what he wanted to do. He did what was best for him, and I applaud him, you know, for being man enough to make the decision that he wanted. You know what I mean? He made that decision. He didn't let someone else make it for him. And of course, you know, his salty ex-girl was like, oh, Kevin's easily influenced. I'm not surprised he left. Shut up, bitch. You're just trying to get your name in the headlines. Kevin did what Kevin wanted to do. And as you said, Ryan, this was a move that, you know, this just didn't happen overnight. I mean, Golden State, if they won the finals, they were going in all in after Kevin Durant. If OKC beat Golden State, you know, we could have still seen this move happen. Barring anything, if they would have lost to Cleveland in the championship, I think if they won, he may have came back. And also, Ryan, you know, for everyone to hate on him and stuff, let's not forget, you know, he can always pull LeBron if he gets 2 or 3 ships. plays there for 6 years or whatnot, we could see a reunion with Golden State, with Oklahoma City, maybe 6 years from now. It sounds like he didn't burn any bridges or whatnot. And, Ryan, I'm with you. I applaud the move because, let's face it, still banged up, but, you know, people are complaining about the balance now. There's no balance in the motherfucking East. It's Cleveland and everyone else. It's stacked in the West, you know what I mean?
If it's LeBron James, nobody cares anymore.
Yeah,
he's the golden child.
It is ridiculous. But all I have to say is, Ryan, I love the move, too. Can't wait to see how it plays out.
Andrew, do you want to hear a hot take real quick?
Yeah.
If Oklahoma City stays put, I think Russell's going to walk away. Let's say they just want one more year with Russell Westbrook, which if they're able to get Boston's first-round pick next year, which belongs to Brooklyn, or I'm sorry, it's the other way around, and some players, I think they should definitely make the move,
yeah,
or players from the Lakers.
That's
but if they stay put, I think, my headphones, it's hard when I'm talking to hear you, my fault, but we got to get better equipment on this show, ladies and gentlemen. But if Oklahoma City stays put with Adams, who I think is a top five center, and Oladipo, and Russell Westbrook, who's a top five player, and will have an MVP season, I think Oklahoma City will get to the Western Finals against Golden State. They're better than the Clippers right now. They just need to adjust their small forward, which I think Robertson will fit great there as a good defender next to Oladipo. Mm-hmm. They maybe get a little bit more shooters, but I think Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook is better than the Clippers. I think that will be a tough battle for them.
To Boston.
And I also think that the Spurs have taken a huge step back without Duncan, and thinking Pau Gasol, who never stays healthy, is going to be Duncan's replacement. And I think the Spurs are looking back and realizing Aldridge is not going to be that second star that's going to get them to be the Spurs of old throughout the next couple of years. They have a good building block with Leonard, but they need somebody other than Aldridge. I just don't think he's as good as the hype. I think Oklahoma City can still be the second best team in the West with the guys they have on that team.
Oh, Ryan, I agree 1,000%, and I do think we're going to see a big step back from the Spurs. Granted, I still think they've been pretty good, but, Ryan, you know, it's interesting. You know, this could finally, you know, be the year we could see Memphis make a run, depending, you know, or maybe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Memphis.
Portland or Phoenix, but, Ryan.
I think it could be Portland this year.
Oh, yeah. My boy Lillard, bring in the
Dame Lil, killing it on the rap tracks.
Last question I want to ask you before we get in, about 15 minutes warning, you know, spend about 5 minutes on this, then get a little 10 minutes of summer league talk, and a good lead into it, Ryan. You were just talking about Westbrook. For a while in the beginning, everyone assumed, you know, okay, it's going to be the Lakers. First of all, if you're OKC, I don't know how you can risk. I mean, I guess you have to gauge it with Russell Westbrook, but I don't know how you risk letting him walk in the offseason, especially after losing Kevin Durant. And let's just say nothing.
You got to get something.
You got to get something better than James Harden, Ryan. This is a team that drafts extremely well in Minnesota. They do. They can get a lot of talent, but they got to hit on this one if they want to stay in the upper echelon with Russell Westbrook probably on the way out. So, Ryan, one thing I got to ask you, you're a diehard Lakers fan. You know, Russell Westbrook, top five player, you love them. But as we've been watching in the summer league and even the end of the year, D'Angelo Russell is starting to come into his own. I think 3 years from now, he will be a top five point guard. He is really coming along fantastic. His scoring and threes are unbelievable. Then you add the kid Brandon Ingram, who is like a Kevin Durant 2.0. Just an amazing pleasure to watch, a beast of the basketball. Then on top of that, of course, you have the Jordan Clarkson, the tough, rugged, great combo guard. He's another amazing player, one of the biggest steals of the draft a couple years ago. And then you also have Julius Randle, the number 7 overall pick.
Larry Nance, Zubac.
As you're saying, Ryan, the talent is off the chart. Now, I know you'd love to have Russell Westbrook. He's a top 5 player. Who wouldn't want him? But, Ryan, what is your giveaway? You know, you got to think if you're getting Russell Westbrook, you know, D'Angelo Russell is all, he's going to be gone. He has to be one of the parts in the trade. What are your thoughts? How much would you give away? Would you give up the whole team? What are you leaning towards now? Would you like to see him go and get Russell Westbrook? Or would you like to see what they can use of this young core, especially if y'all don't get him, if it means Boston gets him instead? So what are your thoughts on that as a Lakers fan? What do you want to see him do?
As a Lakers fan, my heart will get ripped out if our rivals, Boston, go out and get an L.A. kid, Russell Westbrook, and become the second perennial power, maybe the future perennial power of the East. Though I think Al Horford is way overrated in this free agency, Westbrook is incredible.
A lot of players were.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Russell Westbrook is incredible. And I don't get what – I really don't get Bleacher Report's boner for Boston. I'm calling him out. L.A. Lakers can give way more talent to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think that's why Oklahoma City, if they're interested in a deal, haven't made one with Boston yet, is first off, they're gazing Westbrook, of course. Second off, I think it is the Lakers' hesitance to give away too much talent. And, Andrew, I do have to say, as a Lakers fan, I am hesitant. Do I want to see Russell Westbrook in a Lakers jersey this year? Fuck yes, I do. I mean, come on, the guy's a top five player. He's unstoppable. He's from L.A. He just fits our – he fits everything the Lakers want. And back when this happened with Shaq and Penny, the Lakers went out and got Shaquille O'Neal, and we saw what happened. There was a dynasty after that. The Lakers are known for making moves like this, but the Lakers did not have a young core like this. And we look back at the Knicks, who didn't even have close to the talent that the Lakers do. Carmelo Anthony was going to be a free agent, but the Knicks were so scared that he might go to Brooklyn instead of the Knicks. When he said he was probably going to go to the Knicks, they blew up their whole core, and what they were left with was a superstar with no other pieces. So do I want to see the Lakers with just Westbrook and Mozgov and Deng for the next 4 years? And while I'm watching Oklahoma City with D'Angelo Russell, Ingram.
You got to keep Ingram if you're L.A.
Becoming the new stars. What I would do, and, man, I love D'Angelo Russell. He might be a better three-point shooter right now than Russell Westbrook. I'm saying that right now. I know Westbrook can get to the hoop at will, but he's not the best shooter. It's hard to give away a guy like D'Angelo Russell. Keeping a guy like Jordan Clarkson takes away a little bit of that bleeding. The only package I'm willing to give away is future draft picks, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and maybe another piece of the young core that is not named Brandon Ingram. If you're going to get our Russell, you're not getting our Ingram. That's all I got to say. We've suffered for way too long to get these guys. And to me, it might be worth it to let this young core grow with a guy like Luke Walton that knows the process of how Golden State was built. It's a hard decision, Andrew. I'm really torn. I've been torn for weeks now, and Summer League did not help. Before Summer League, I would have said, fuck yes. After Summer League, I don't know. D'Angelo Russell could have as high of a ceiling as Russell Westbrook. And maybe not, because Russell Westbrook is so good.
Yeah, Ryan, I agree. I think.
Now, let me reverse that question real quick. Would you give up Dennis Schroeder? I think I know the answer.
Yes.
Paul Millsap.
Yes.
Kyle Korver. And your new draft pick, Prince, and two future picks for Russell Westbrook.
See, we could have Russ and Dwight on the pick and roll, which would be amazing. There's a couple other pieces, but that is giving up everything for the Hawks. They're right there would be in the Knicks role, man. You know, I don't know if they could rebound from that. And, you know, as you say, okay, he comes on a four-year deal. I'm going to suck all four of those years, and good luck getting him to re-sign. We just don't have the talent. But granted, we need
what
a guy like Russell Westbrook. If he re-signed, then yes. One thing I would like to see is for us to be able to at least keep one of our future draft picks. We're going to need some future draft picks, but I get what you're saying. But Yeah, and you have to think, too, with Russell Westbrook and Dwight Howard, if they play well together, those two superstars could reel in another superstar.
It would be worth it to me for the next 4 years to see Russell Westbrook mad dog Dwight Howard every game.
It would be hilarious. I would love it. And, yeah, I mean, come on, Ryan, because let's face it, the Hawks aren't getting the fucking top five player in the league to come over there. We would have to draft him or do some sort of trade. So, yeah, I would definitely do it, Ryan. And I'm in agreement with you. I think Lakers, the most you can give up. I would not give up Ingram. I would be like, look, we'll give you D'Angelo Russell. We'll give you Julius Randle. Maybe give you a downtown Brown.
Which is plenty enough.
Picks. Yeah, they're not getting that from Boston. Boston can't give them great young talent like that. That's
they can't give
them
a future top five point guard.
No, that's a number two pick, and do maybe a future top five, top ten power forward. That
and
a
guy, yeah,
talent.
That can replace Ibaka.
Yeah, that is extreme talent.
Now,
so
I will say this. If Adams, which I heard could be involved, is throwing in on the deal, I might rethink it because I think Adams' ceiling is that high.
Yeah, Adams is an animal. He is amazing, Ryan. And, I have to agree. But, you know, Ryan, another move we don't know, we've seen, and, you know, it seems like the main person that's holding this back is Doc Rivers. I applaud you, Doc. You're not that dumb. He looks like he doesn't, you know, Boston's refusing to give up the Brooklyn
Doc's pretty
pick.
Dumb.
He is like the only obstacle in the way for Boston trading for Blake Griffin. But I get Doc. You know, if you're giving up Blake, you got to get that number three pick.
No, it's
Boston.
Because none of the players involved have Doc's number. You have to have Doc's number to get on his team. You have to have played for him in a former team.
Oh, that is funny. But, you know, we'll see. Those are the rumors. But if Boston can have Blake Griffin and Russell Westbrook, look out. But, Ryan.
Can I just say this about Boston, though? Can they stop dreaming, man? Because it seems like they've been trying to get what-ifs for the last 3 months. What if we got
Jimmy Butler? They're probably going to settle for Kevin Love. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Enough,
the white guy. That fits perfect for them. And
right.
I got to say this about the Clippers rumor. Right when I saw the Clippers were going to get Rudy Gay in this trade, I just said, Blake Griffin's not leaving. What a horrible trade. They get
terrible.
Rudy Gay? What? Who put that rumor out? That guy should never cover the NBA again.
That was not very believable. But, Ryan, let's touch on it before we run out of time.
Sure.
Summer League has kicked off, and it has been fun to watch. Let's first start it off with some people you've been very impressed with. My first player I got to throw out there, it sucks he did get a concussion, but Chris Dunn from Minnesota, a guy who I hyped up pretty big in the draft, I was really high on him. Minnesota took him at 5, and who knows, Ryan, maybe Boston is kicking themselves for taking Brown instead of him at 3. A great point guard, 6'10 wingspan, dropped 28 his first game. Dropped 20 his next game and got a concussion. We saw him breaking ankles and stuff. It was amazing. Minnesota, I got to give it to him. Great pick. A lot of people wanted him to draft Buddy Hield. I think Buddy Hield is probably me and Ryan's probably unanimous number one disappointment so far. He's looking like he's got a touch of Anthony Bennett syndrome.
What the fuck is New Orleans doing?
I don't know, man.
Wasting
I mean, on paper, it was a good pick. On paper, it was like, ooh, Buddy Hield, okay. But, I mean, one thing that scared me about Buddy Hield, she was so old, you know, senior and whatnot. But Chris Dunn, Ryan, that is my first, one of my biggest takeaways. And, you know, he's not a second-year player. This is his first play, first in the league. He is NBA ready. And all I have to say is look out, Ricky Rubio. Your spot is about to be gone. Get ready to get out of Minnesota. Shit, he's probably smiling, though. Watch him go to Milwaukee, though. The one place worse than Minnesota. Go to Milwaukee. But he's my first player. Ryan, let me get a player that stood out to you.
I mean, you know I'm going to say D'Angelo Russell, but I won't for now. I'll say two.
A surprise.
I'll say two. It's not very surprising. But I gotta say, I'm done hating on Ben Simmons. I know everyone knew I was gonna hate on him because the Lakers drafted the guy behind him. But goddamn, Ben Simmons is an NBA player. I mean, he can't shoot yet. He can't shoot a lick. I mean, I could probably shoot a better jumper. But just the way that this guy can play and put up rebounds, just his physicalness. Out of all the guys that have been compared to LeBron, he doesn't have the LeBron jumper, but he plays the most similar to LeBron James that I have seen, more than Andrew Wiggins and more than I remember Harrison Barnes was compared to LeBron James.
Yes. That was bad.
But Ben Simmons and Andrew, I'm going to be a homer on this one. But I got to say, Larry Nance Jr., the guy is showing that he has a three-point stroke. He's blocking shots left and right. Larry Nance Jr., he's coming for Julius Randle's spot. I hate that he got hurt. But he is the guy, the typical glue guy that you want on your team. If you're building that future Laker team, if Julius Randle pans out, then that's the guy you want coming off your bench, your sixth man, your leader. And I love the combination of Zubac and Larry Nance Jr. together. They just fit so perfectly, only playing three games together.
Oh, yeah, Ryan. Larry Nance was very, very impressive. And I like the change up of pick because Ingram, of course, would be on my list. You know, you can tell he's feeling it out, but his stroke is so beautiful and his size.
And he's only going to grow.
Yeah, and the kid's 19 years
old. And get
bigger. Right, he looks amazing. And, you know, one thing I'll say in today's NBA, which might be more important too, I would say that, you know, Simmons probably has a little bit more athleticism. But for what Simmons has in athleticism, you know,
it's KD LeBron all over again, man.
It is. And, you know, in today's NBA, shooting is extremely important. And I think he's in a better position playing in L.A. Ryan, another player I know. Okay, Devin Booker, he did play amazing, but that was kind of expected.
It was unfair.
From what we saw in the season. I'm going to go a little bit of a homer right here real quick. Taurean Prince, he only got to play two games for the Hawks, but his defense, Ryan, a bunch of steals, motor, great motor, very
Andrew,
athletic.
I got to ask, does that make Kelly Oubre hurt a little less?
No, Ryan, honestly, what made it hurt more was us watching him.
Does getting Prince make losing Oubre hurt a little less? Because Prince
is
a ball.
It does hurt a little bit less. Prince is very good. Honestly, Ryan, I wish the and the person who took it 21, Bembry, great shooting guard, something that we desperately needed. I mean, we have Bazemore, but Kyle Korver is a one-trick pony. We needed another you know, perimeter guard player.
I fucking hate Kyle Korver. God damn it. I hate him.
All he can do is hit threes, man. I know. He's extremely good at it, but it's kind of annoying, especially when you get to the playoffs and everyone's running you off the line. But Bembry looked very good as well. Both those players from the Hawks looked there ready to contribute. But Ryan, he came back to bias already like I knew it would. Kelly Oubre Jr., or Oubre. The kid is just a baller. I watched him in high school. He didn't have a great year at Kansas. He was still a top five talent coming in. So I was at 14, Ryan. We picked him, and I was finally ready to forgive the Greek Freak debacle. Like, it was like the accumulation of everything bad happening, and we finally took Kelly Oubre. And I was like, you know what? All is forgiven. I was so happy. And then, you know, I got to 5 minutes later that was part of a three-team trade. And we get fucking Tim Hardaway Jr. And
the worst trade ever. Maybe.
That was just a horrible move. Tim Hardaway Jr. was terrible. The Hawks' ego was a little too big.